Acts 26, verse 24. Now, as Paul thus made his defense, the Roman governor, Festus, said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." Why did Festus conclude that Paul was mad? We usually consider people mad if they're not willing to accept practical facts, if they're seeing things, and if they are obsessed with irrational goals. So I guess Festus was right. Paul was indeed doing all of those things, wasn't he? It's been suggested that all that was required for Paul to get out of that dungeon was to pay a bribe. And though he'd been in prison for over 2 years, he refused to grease the corrupt palms. And now, Paul had just stood before the Roman court and told them that he had seen a vision of the crucified Jesus ruling all things. And furthermore, he declared that his whole goal in life was to convert people to Christ. Festus had heard enough. "Paul, you're mad." Yes. Mad for Christ. Festus and Herod were also mad. Paul reminded them that their own conscience told them of the very practical fact that God is going to judge everyone. And yet they had allowed their desire for the pleasures of sin to blind them to this fact. Herod was incestuously involved with his sister, Bernice, who was also married to another man. The fact that they were both rejecting what their own conscience told them was true is demonstrated by how they responded to Paul. Herod attempted to cut off his words with flippant sarcasm. "Would you convince me to be a Christian, Paul?" And Festus attempted to outshout the warning of the Holy Spirit. "Paul, you're mad." And yet, they were also both obsessed with the irrational goal of groveling like a cursed snake before Rome in order to be able to boast, "Hey, we're macho men in control of our own lives." Will you be mad for Christ or for sinful pleasures? Jesus warns that we cannot ride the fence. It's either one or the other. Consider the days of Noah. The gospel had created, we're told, a clear line of division between the sons of God and the sons of man. But gradually, that line of division had faded. The sons of God accepted the practical fact, "Well, we've got to compromise with sin, or people are going to think that we're mad." So they did not press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus, but rather conformed to the world. The salt had lost its savor. A little less concern for Bible study, modesty, sobriety, a little more focus on worldly pleasures, sex appeal, earthly success. And so the professed sons of God united themselves with the sons of men in thinking and in living. And the result is always the same: giants in defiance of God and God's judgment. Let us fearfully recognize the parallels to our own day. God's description of that day Sounds like it could come from the front pages today. Everything was lawless and disorderly, he writes. Everyone seeking freedom from the accusation of God's Spirit. If the line of division between Christians and the world has been lost, it's not the world that changed. So if that line is fading in your life, don't we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we are clearly, consistently, with Jesus walking? Will you be mad for Christ? Or mad for the sinful pleasures of this world? All the things of this world are going to be destroyed by fire. But Jesus is the righteousness that justifies you, all the ungodly. Everyone who believes in Him is covered with His righteousness. And that will stand for eternity. Yes, when you are walking with Jesus, the world will at times conclude, you're mad. You're not accepting the practical facts of life in this world. But what is more practical? To fear men or to fear God? The world will say, you're mad. You're seeing things. But who is seeing things? Those who think that sinful pleasures will give them the ultimate fulfillment? Or those who believe that eternal life in Christ will give the ultimate fulfillment? Yeah, people will also suggest, you're mad because your goals aren't rational unless you look at them in the light of Christ being risen and ruling all things. But whose goals are irrational? Those who set their life goals in the things of this world that are clearly short-lived until rust and moth and worm destroy? Or those who set them in the eternal God who has demonstrated that His kingdom lasts forever by rising from the dead? Noah pounded every nail in that ark as if his life depended on it. For it did. Be mad for Christ as if your life depends on it. For it is only Jesus' holy precious blood that can wash you and me clean, save us, and create and renew in us that desire to, with Jesus, walk. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll continue with hymn 346, stanzas 4 through 6, 4, 5, and 6.